Welcome to A Quiet Life. I'm Ruth, your host, and it's really, really great to have you here with me today. Thank you for pressing play. I don't know if you can hear the kookaburras in the background, but that's a very cool way to start the day as well. And speaking of starting the day, you know how I always say, get back to me, give me feedback on what I've said. Well, somebody has. In fact, more than one person has on last week's episode, so that's very cool. And if you, if you're listening to last week's episode late and you want to get back to me, but that doesn't really make sense, does it? Anyway, it was very good to hear from these people. So I got a couple of comments, and one of them was from Stuart, and he says, nothing better than starting the day with morning pages. It's such a great unlock for the mind. And I've begun to appreciate analog habits after needing to stare at a screen for almost the entire day. And I think that makes a lot of sense too. Actually, one of the things about morning pages is that you're writing it with a pen on paper, and your brain interacts with it differently because of that. So I do love my morning pages and I really highly recommend them, and so does Stuart. So that's very cool. And the other person who got back to me was Lil. And thank you for getting back to me, Lil, and spelling out your whole morning routine. It was very cool. I'm not going to read it to everybody here because I reckon you probably didn't want it to be made completely public. But the really great advice that Lil shared with me is that the morning starts the night before. Now, how exactly does she say it? She says that she listened to a young woman who said she struggled with how to adult, and she said for her the best way she could try to live each day as an adult was to start the night before. And it's very helpful. So Lil gets her breakfast tray all ready, and she puts out whatever she needs to take medicines wise, and she has a diary next to her bed, and all these things are done the night before so that when she wakes up in the morning, no matter how good or bad she is feeling, she has got something right there for her, and she preps for the animals and stuff as well. So that's very, very helpful advice. Start the night before. And I've been thinking that too, like if I wake up in the morning and all the dirty dishes are out in the kitchen and the place looks like a bomb's hit it, then it's not a very friendly way to start the day. And it does take a bit of effort for me. Evenings are not my best time. But yeah, I've been trying to be a bit more intentional about putting all of the cups and plates in the dishwasher. I mean, I have a dishwasher, for crying out loud. It's not that hard. It's not like those days when we were washing up all the time. But yes, just to be a bit more intentional about making sure the night before prepares me for the day to come. So thank you, Stuart and Lil, for giving me that bit of feedback. And as always, I would love to hear from anybody who listens to this podcast, and I would love you to share this with anybody as well. So I'll give you all the addresses and stuff at the end, and I might put them in the show notes today just to make sure that you know what to do to get in touch with me, because I love to hear from you. I really do. I love yelling into the void as well. I mean, one of the things about this podcast and doing it is that it just gives me practice in writing a blog and practice in speaking, public speaking, and that helps with other parts of my life. But I also do this intentionally to communicate with you because I like to talk to you. And so when you talk back, that's just an extra special treat for me. So anyway, the other person that I talked to, of course, is Scotty, and I had a chat to him this podcast about asking for help, and I'll let you listen to the chat and then I'll unpack it a bit more afterwards.
Ruth Amos is with me once again. I can't talk properly this morning. How you doing?
Good, thanks, Scotty. How are you?
I'm good.
A bit tongue-tied.
Some days you just have those days where you just can't talk properly. And then people go, but you're on the radio. You should be able to talk properly. I'm like, I know I should be able to. I just can't.
We can't do everything all the time, Scotty. This is the thing.
What are we talking about today?
We're talking about asking for help.
Oh, well, I need to call a speech therapist.
Yeah, that'd work. Yeah. I have a funny story for Moz because it's his birthday. So
happy birthday, Moz!
Yeah, he's now the same age as me.
He's not in his 60s yet, is he?
No, and neither am I, Scotty. Yeah, he's a teacher at a high school, and his students looked at him before parent-teacher interviews this week, and they said, "You're a bit colourful, Mr. Amos." Parent-teacher interviews, you think, you know.
With what he's wearing.
With what he's wearing, you know. That tie, really? And then one of the students ducked into his office, pulled out his tie rack, that he keeps there, and he went through and found a more suitable tie for him to wear for the parent-teacher interview.
See, I'd encourage that. Like, I remember I used to go to I had a high school teacher who used to wear bow ties all the time.
Yeah, nice.
And they were, like, really colourful bow ties, and that kind of, that's what kind of made him stand out from all the other teachers.
Maybe he had fashion sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I've been thinking about it. Like, there's so many different things that, I talk about using tools all the time, like calendars and to-do lists and whatever, but sometimes you need a human being to give you a hand. And back when my kids were in primary school, I had a friend, I thought she was so sensible. She just knew that she couldn't keep track of all the free dress days and the bring a donation days and the lunch days and whatever. So she just rang a friend who she knew could keep track, and she said, can you ring me in the morning and tell me? It's a very simple thing for a friend to do, but it just made all the difference to her and to her kids, because they weren't turning up in the wrong uniform or whatever. You know, she'd just get a phone call every week. Sports day today. Oh, thank you. Put the kids in the tracksuit. And I just think, brilliant.
So good. So yeah. Good. I've got a friend that does that, and he stopped, but he did it for about 6 weeks, where he said, because we're talking about diet and eating and wanting to lose weight. And he said, what's the hardest time of day for you? And I said, it's about 11:30. I said, and there's a takeaway store across the road, and they sell these deep fried chickens, and they're, you know, like, and it's just really yummy pizza chicken. He said, so that's the hardest time of day. Every day at 11:30, I'm going to send you an SMS just to encourage you to stay strong. I'm like, thanks, man. And he did every day for like 6 weeks.
That's
faithfully.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it was so good.
Yeah. I mean, we know more about neurodivergence and stuff now. So we know that for some people, executive functioning isn't their strong suit. And if it's not, then, you know, don't just feel guilty about it and bash yourself up about it. Find someone for whom it is their strong suit and say, help, help. You know, I need to make a doctor's appointment. Can you please ring up? Or, you know, whatever it is, you can ask for help. People are happy to help you, really.
And the best leaders aren't the leaders that can do everything. The best leaders are the leaders that go, okay, I'm really not very strong in this area, so I'm going to get someone to help me here. And I'm not strong here, so I need some help there. And they really share the load, don't they?
Yeah, absolutely. Knowing your strengths and your weaknesses, and then getting help with your weaknesses from somebody else's strengths, is just a sensible way to be. I think that's why we're meant to be in community and working together like that. So, yeah.
So people can do it, but also there are other tools that can help you as well, aren't there?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Like my shopping app is brilliant because I'm like, oh, man, I'd never remember all this stuff. But as soon as, during the week, I'm like, oh, that's right, we need balsamic vinegar. So I go and I type it in, and then, you know, get to choose the night when I do the shopping. I'm like, yeah, that's right, balsamic vinegar.
And I have a to-do list that I can just say, set me an alarm, remind me to do this tomorrow. So I just don't have to lie awake all night thinking, I must remember to do that tomorrow. It's there on my phone. So, yeah, it's handy.
So what about you? Have you got people in your life that help you in that way?
Absolutely. I was thinking just like Moz and I are a good partnership of these things. So he's the obvious one that I think of. But we wanted to have dinner with friends. I was like, I think we should have dinner with friends. But I said, I'm not really good at, I don't want to broach the question. So if you could just talk to Phil and say, what do you think? Then I'll be able to do the executive functioning bit of finding the right day and the right time and everything. And we work together, we'll make it work. Yeah. So we did that.
And that's so good. And I think that's what marriage is in so many ways. Like Marianne and I are complete polar opposites as far as personalities go. Yeah. But we kind of find this way where we complement each other, where she's strong, I'm hopelessly weak. But where I'm strong, she's not strong, you know, and it kind of, there's like a nice balance there in the end.
And you can drive each other crazy.
but because of that, you know.
But it's much better to think about working together and pulling together like that too. But you don't have to be married. You can, as I said, my friend rang a friend. Like there's people in your life, I'm sure there's people in people's lives that would be really, really happy to help out in these sort of things. Yeah.
So there you go. If you're listening today and don't be scared to it's not a pride thing, is it? It's actually a strength, I think, to ask for help.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
All right. Hey, thanks, Ruth.
Thank you, Scotty.
Check out more about Ruth, ruthamos.com. Is that right?
.au.
I need to write it down. ruthamos.com.au. Thanks, Ruth.
That's all right. You can always ask me for help. I'll let you know. Thanks, Scotty.
Ruth Amos.
Tell you what, after re-listening to what I said to Scotty the other day, I think I need to ask for help as to how to stop saying the word absolutely. But I did agree with so much of what he was saying, so absolutely I did. So anyway, I'm going to try not to say that for the rest of today's podcast, because it's obviously a verbal ticker that needs to disappear, or at least settle down. Anyway, it was really good to talk to Scotty, and Yeah, there's so many different ways that we can get help. And I was thinking, how do I approach this unpacking of things? And I thought, well, actually, I think what I need to do is just go through a whole lot of different ways that I've got help, or that other people have got help from me, or whatever, so that can give you just examples so that you can think of ways that you can maybe get help in your weaknesses. So all of us have strengths and weaknesses. That's how we're made. And I think one of the strengths of the Myers-Briggs type indicator test, the MBTI test, and other personality type tests like that, is that they help us to see that our strengths are good and our weaknesses are just how we're made. They're not sinful or something that we should be guilty about or bash ourselves up about. And so, of course, I'm not saying just give in to and give up on things that we find hard to do, but some things you're going to find harder to do than other things, and lean into your strengths and ask help for where you have weaknesses is going to give you a more balanced life. So one of my strengths is executive functions. So they're things like being on time, finishing lists. I love finishing things. I'm very good at finishing things. So those sort of things are my strengths. And in the Western world, those things are highly valued. And I know that. I know that I have a bit of privilege of my strengths being highly valued. And I know that if those things are not your strengths, then you can feel like you're not worth as much, which is just so wrong. I have to say it's wrong. You have your strengths, and your strengths are also valuable. I think actually the Western world or the developed world can get really tied up on things like being on time. Oh, it's so important, and it's very rude if you're not on time. Whereas other cultures, island time, for example, not a problem. You know, as long as you turn up at some stage and relax and spend time with me, then that's all that matters. And let me tell you now, I find that really hard. That's one of my weaknesses, is relaxing and just spending time with people, just hanging out with people. So we're made how we're made. We have strengths and weaknesses. And I think that the more we get to know ourselves and can really lean into our strengths and ask for help with the things that we find harder, that, it's just better. It helps us through life. I was reading Twitter the other day, and I read a lot of tweets about ADHD. It fascinates me. I don't think I have ADHD, but I think it's really interesting to understand how different neurodivergent brains work. And somebody was talking about the ADHD urge or tendency to get the job to a 90% or nearly complete level and then not finish it. Now, I can't do that. My brain says no, it has to be finished. I have quite a lot of anxiety if I don't finish something. And so finishing for me is good. But somebody responded to the tweet and said, I'm autistic, not ADHD, but this is so familiar. So this is someone who calls themselves Bloopfish on Twitter. So thanks, Bloopfish, if you ever listen to this. But anyway, I'm autistic, not ADHD, but this is so familiar. I've literally had co-workers call me 90% since I was the fastest on the team up to that point. And the last 10% takes as long as the first 90% if I have to do it. But I had a great co-worker volunteer to partner with me to finalise tasks. And so, I mean, that's what I'm talking about here. If you know that your strength is that first 90%, and that finishing is hard, you get someone to help, to partner with you even, to finish it off for you. What wonderful self-awareness, what awesome, self-awareness that Bluefish has, what awesome leaning into their strengths, that they, once they've figured it out, that they're 90%, good, they'll get that done, and then have someone help them do the last 10%. So that, you know, once you start thinking about something for a podcast, things come up all over the place. But anyway, so I've talked to you about that, and my friend at primary school who got, I called her calendar friend. Her calendar friend would ring her up in the morning. I'm not sure if she rang every morning or if she just rang when something was up or when she needed to be prepared for something, but just to say, oh, by the way, sports day, or by the way, $2 for donation for today. And it helped her through those tough years. And I have another friend who, when her kids were in primary school, she'd put them to bed in their school uniform the night before so that she didn't have to get them dressed in the morning because she knew what her strengths and weaknesses were. And I share that because if you're a mum and you're struggling, then you know what? You don't need to tell people that you're putting your kids to bed in their school uniform. You can just do it. You just do whatever it takes to get through those hard, hard years. So that's all I'm saying. The last week or so, I got approached in my work, which I work as an editor, but a previous client wrote to me and said, look, I can't do online forms. I really struggle with them. And they just spike her anxiety. And she's a very intelligent person. She has a PhD and other degrees, postgraduate degrees. She's really, really clued in. But online forms, something she can't do. So she said, can you come over and help me? So sure I did. Went over, read the form, just looked at it and made sure it was filled in correctly, that she, you know, she'd written her birth date in the right way around and all that kind of thing. And no problem. It didn't take long and I was very happy to help. Another situation where I have needed help is when, again, when my kids were little, one of my friends said, could we babysit their children? I can't remember why, but we had them overnight. And one of their children was in the same class as my son in primary school and one was younger. So we had these kids over and I realised that while I was very happy to have them over, I was not going to be very good at entertaining kids that I didn't know very well. In fact, I'm not good at entertaining, full stop. So I just said to my family, I'm going to, you know, make sure there's food on the table. I'll even wash up. I'll do whatever it needs to do. But you need to look after these kids. So my kids snapped into action and my husband did too. Jess read the kids a bedtime story and they looked after them. They played with games with them. They had fun and I just did the background admin. I told them where the sheets and blankets were and I made the dinner and I washed up, and when we smashed a glass on the floor, I kicked them all out of the kitchen and cleaned it up, and they did the entertaining. And you know, you might look at that and say, well, you're the doing all the executive function admin type important things and they're doing just the fun, have fun with the kids things. But that's not how I see it at all, because me having fun with the kids is quite stressful. It's something that I struggle with. And if you're anxious and trying to get a kid to relax and have fun, it doesn't work very well. I just have to tell you that. So, you know, to have them work to their strengths of playing hide and seek, reading bedtime stories, tucking them in, doing all the thing, that was great. And I was very happy to work to my strengths of admin type tasks in the background. I've got a couple of friends who have written books but who have dyslexia, and so their stories are important and they need to be told and they're beautiful. I don't know what it is about dyslexia and poetic language, but man, gorgeous, gorgeous writing. But you know, the words are spelt wrongly and the commas are in the wrong place and kind of interesting things like that. And that's fine because that's not their strength, and that's where you pay an editor to come in like me and fix it up for you. And I think, you know, again, work to your strengths. Some people don't like making phone calls or don't like picking up the phone to make doctor's appointments, for example. But that is, again, something that you can, even if you're in the same room, get someone else to do it. They ring, they make the phone call. And if you have to say something, I think you can do it once the phone's shoved in your face. But, you know, ask for help with that. There's times when people are wanting to tidy up their house, but they just can't do it by themselves. And to have just a friend come in and sit while you go through your closet, they don't even have to make decisions for you or touch the clothes. They just sit with you while you work, can be incredibly helpful. Of course, sometimes it's really helpful to have a friend come in and just clean your house. And then maybe you can go over and clean their house. Isn't it incredible just how much easier it is to clean someone else's house? I think it's because you know with your own house it's going to get dirty again, but with a friend's house, it's a one-off. But anyway, if you're in that situation where you really just cannot face your house, maybe you can arrange with friends to do a house swap. You clean theirs, they clean yours. Beautiful. Why not? Why not? So I'm not talking about taking advantage of people here. I'm not talking about yeah, using people and just sitting back on your backside and doing nothing. But I don't think most of us are like that. I think we have gifts that can help other people, and we need to look out for them and see how we can help them. And then they have gifts that can help us, and we can do that as well. And even if you know you can do something, but just it's hard for you to do in particular circumstances. And what I'm thinking of there is I can cook a delicious meal. I'm very good at cooking meals. I do it for my family all the time. I'm very practiced. You know, at this point in time, I have made so many meals. But when people come over, I ask Moz to cook because I know that he does a super special job. I know that I can then relax into the conversation and whatever's happening without sitting there worrying about what people think about what I've cooked. I'm getting more relaxed there as well. But, you know, just even things like that where it's not... You can think, oh, I could ask for help, but I really shouldn't because I really know that I can do this. If I just push myself hard enough, I know I can do it. So while I could ask for help, I just shouldn't. Well, that's the attitude, again, that I'm trying to come against here, because I think I could ask for help, but I shouldn't. It's not important. I would like help here, and maybe there's somebody who can help me, and not to feel bad about it is where I'm coming from. I know that everybody's busy. And we're all busy, and sometimes it feels like you can't ask anyone for help because they're already too busy to help you. And back when I had my super stressed year in 2020 and ended up talking to the psych, I realized that that was one of the things I was doing. When I was meeting with other people for coffee and whatever, I was letting them dump their issues on me, but I wasn't dumping my issues on them because I knew that they had issues and were struggling themselves. But that's not the way we work in community. And helping somebody else out gives you such a high. You know, having being told by somebody, I know you have strengths in this area. Can I please use your strengths? Well, firstly, it's a compliment. And secondly, it gives you a high just to help someone else out anyway. So I don't think we should feel overly bad for asking for help. Obviously, the people who are using people and asking for help too much will find this very easy to do, and it's the people who never ask for help that need to change their behaviour and start asking for help. So, you know, maybe you can do a little self-check on yourself there. But helping others is wonderful, and people will go out of their way to help others because it just is the way we're made. It makes us feel useful and wanted and even loved. So yeah, so there you go. I think that's all I have to say, really, all my examples of asking for help. Do feel free to ask for help, and do feel free to help others when you can. Work to your strengths and get help with your weaknesses. That's the message of today. And now I'm going to ask you for help, because I would like this podcast to be shared and to go places. So if you think that this podcast is worth listening to or would be helpful for somebody to listen to, please could you share it? It's on all of the podcasty places, so they should be able to search for A Quiet Life. Or a better way is to go to ruthamos.com.au and sign up to my newsletter. And if they sign up to my newsletter, then they get a link to the podcast and to the blog if they're more reading people than listening people, and they should be able to find it all from there. So please help. That's all I'm asking. And as always, chat to me. I would love to hear where you ask for help or where you've helped others. Ruth@ruthamos.com.au, or find me on Facebook at Ruth Amos Author, or on Twitter at A Quiet Life Blog. And I will chat to you again soon.